This is When Spirit Calls, and you on your journey are in the right place. This show is about magic, miracles, and meaning shared through stories, interviews, and channeled messages. We have so much to share about who you are and your divine mission here on the earth. Let's get to it. When Spirit Calls is right now. Our guest today is Dr. Melissa Sophia Joy. Dr. Joy is the founder of Somatic Awakening, an internationally recognized spiritual teacher, oracle, author, and naturopathic doctor specializing in mind, body, spirit healing, and spiritual embodiment. She is also the founding director of Sophia Healing Academy, a mystery school dedicated to transformative healing and awakening through the union of somatic depth, spiritual wisdom, and divine connection. Over the past 25 years, she has taught consciousness, spirituality, energy medicine, and holistic healing, including directing the Consciousness, Healing, and Ecology program at the New College of California. A divine feminine wisdom keeper and starseed, Melissa serves as a multidimensional channel and guardian of the Rose Grail lineage, an ancient path that weaves the law of love and law of one into direct embodied experience, guiding others into profound healing, soul reclamation, and the anchoring of their divine essence. Hello, everyone. Welcome to When Spirit Calls. I am so excited about our guests. You've learned a little bit about them already in the bio, but Dr. Melissa's in the house. Hello.
Hello, hello. I'm so delighted to be here with you today.
I am so happy you're here. And, you know, we were just talking about how we connected and that I use a very intuitive process to tune into people. And as we're talking, we kind of discover we have some Magdalen history together. And I'm so excited to explore this more deeply today in our conversation, because I think that you have so much value to offer us. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait to dive in. So would you start us off with just giving a little bit of the backstory in terms of why it is that you're doing what you do today to help others? I'd love to know what that was for you.
Absolutely. So, you know, I have a long history of being a healer on many levels. I'm a licensed naturopathic doctor, yet I'm also a spiritual teacher and somatic specialist. And, you know, there are many different facets that I could talk about, but the thing that has affected me the most was back around 2008, my life started falling apart on a physical level, emotional level, work-wise, financial level. And I thought that that's as bad as it could get, but it actually kept on happening where so many, many things started coming up from the past life. Memories started coming up really, really intensely. Memories from this life that had been repressed started coming up. And I was actually thrown into a decade-long dark night of the soul experience that completely rearranged my life and caused me to really understand the deeper meaning of surrender and humility and thy will, not my will. And in the center of this, well, actually toward the latter part of it, I think it was probably around year 6 or 7, I had an experience where I had a really bad flu and a very high fever. And my fever was just starting to come down. And in the middle of the night, I was awakened with a vision of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene. And they told me that it was time for me to remember why I am here, what I'm to remember, and to start sharing it with other people. And then within a few days, Mary Magdalene started coming to me in meditation and teaching me this modality that I didn't know was a modality or a healing practice. All I knew is that she was teaching me this process to heal myself. And it so deeply and profoundly not only healed me, but helped awaken me and helped me step into spiritual embodiment. And so the next natural step was for me to start sharing this with my patients. And they started having these incredible healing experiences as well, because the core of this work is that it helps align us with our own holy higher self, with the divine inside of us. And when we do that and actually bring that in into a healing sphere in a very specific way, magic happens. Oh, well, first of all, I want to just bow down to you and making it through 10 years of the dark night, because I know people that have had months. I know some people that have had maybe a couple years, but I've never heard of anyone surviving 10 years. That is a long time. And I think that it's so important that we celebrate that you chose to still stay.
Oh, thank you so much. I so appreciate you saying that. I don't think anyone has ever said that to me.
I feel actually really emotional about it. I feel like crying with that, because I think it's so easy for us to feel like we have hit rock bottom and want to throw in the towel. And if we've hit rock bottom, or we think we have, and then there's a deeper bottom and a deeper bottom and a deeper bottom, you know, very, very easy to be like, nope, get me off of this earthly ship, like sign me out, I'm done. And I really want to hold the space to celebrate that. That's a big deal.
Yes,
really big deal.
You know, if I can just interject, it absolutely required a huge amount of courage, especially the first few years, because I was connected to my spirituality, but not fully. And until I had this vision, it was incredibly difficult. It was horrific at times. But after the vision, what ended up happening is that I started receiving this huge amount of supports, not only from Yeshua and Mary Magdalene, but also from Mother Mary. And then Kuan Yin showed up. And then many, many, many other teachers and masters and angels started coming into my life. And that's when, even though there were days that were super, super hard, that's when I opened to the path of who I truly am. I'm a mystic, and this is my life. So because of their support, I made it through.
I love that you are giving them props, you know, your spirit team, if you will.
Yes.
and I can feel them. They're very active in your environment, which is great. You know, that's a testament to you building those relationships. But, you know, I think a lot of people forget that there's this etheric aspect of our existence. And there are these beautiful guides and teams that are available for us. The support is infinite. And yet so many of us get caught up in this idea that we're not being supported, but we're always supported. Always, always, always. And that actually just reminded me of the poem Footprints, which I brought in on this podcast a few times before, or mentioned it. That poem Footprints, when Jesus and the man are walking on the beach, right? And eventually there's only one set of footprints in the sand. And the man says, Jesus, why have you abandoned me? And Jesus said, no, I was carrying you. And I love that message for us, because I think it's so easy to get caught up in these stories that we're alone, that we're not being supported. Mm-hmm. And having a spirit team has been one of the most profound things for me as well in those dark night moments, you know, and being in that place of despair and falling to your knees. You know, it's my spirit team that shows up, my counsel, you know, they show up every time. We're here. Are you listening? We're here.
Right.
Yeah. And so what a beautiful gift that is for those of us that are willing to explore that possibility. It's not easy for everyone, though, to feel, to see, to sense their spirit team. Do you think there is something that shifted for you that allowed that opening?
Well, I think there are several different things. Number one, need.
I am so desperate. I need this spirit team now.
Exactly. You know, one of the things I say often to my patients and students is when you get to that place where you are broken open and you're on your knees and you are feeling an authentic surrender. So you realize that your ego and mind, it can no longer lead. Yeah. It doesn't have what's really needed.
Yeah.
And you need something else, and you're totally open, asking, even begging spirit to come in. That's when spirit comes in the loudest, the most intense, the most powerful. Yeah. And, you know, we don't necessarily want those type of experiences on one level, because it can be really, really painful, yeah. Right? Those are the type of experiences that bring in the spirit the most. However, on a day-to-day basis, the thing that I have found that has most supported me And some people love hearing this. Some people don't like hearing this. But the thing that is the most supporting to me is quieting my mind.
Mm.
When the mind is chatty and busy and the ego is fueling the mind and all the different things that you need to do or think about or judge people or whatever, whatever it does,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's too busy to allow spirit to be heard, because spirit's voice very often is quiet.
Yes.
It's a whisper. It's a subtlety. You know, in my highest states of awakening, sometimes there have been words, but at the beginning, it was all feeling.
Yeah.
It was the feeling of Divine Mother present. It was the feeling of my oneness with everything. It was the feeling of knowing, feeling, sensing, intuiting the divine love that never dies. And that can't come whenever our mind is really busy. And that can be meditation, but it could also be doing the things that you love. I'm a conscious dancer and I, you know, longtime yoga practitioner, used to be a yoga teacher. Those types of things can really also quiet the mind enough so that we can feel and sense. Or maybe you're an artist and you paint or you make music or whatever it is. You know, getting into the place the mind quiets and that we can connect with our higher mind that is aligned with spirit. That's really what brings it in them.
Yeah. I love this conversation so much because I've had so many stories where I was able to create just enough of a bubble or a window for me to really listen. And it was in those listenings that big things happened. Mm-hmm. You know, one example, I'll share this quick story. I was out camping and I got up early before the kids and everybody else, kind of go for my morning stroll. And I get out of the camper and there's feathers, like giant white feathers everywhere in the trees. Like the angels had come and had a party. That was the feeling that I got in witnessing these feathers. I felt goosebumps. I felt this angelic presence. And I remember just feeling this blissful frequency. And I was so grateful. I was like, oh, thank you for this. Oh, I could feel the angels. It felt so good. And then as I continue to walk, I realized that these aren't feathers at all. It's the pollen that is just dried with the dew the right way or what have you. And so it just looked like feathers. And I remember feeling kind of pissed in that moment. And I was like, okay, God, what the heck is this? Like, why would you let me think it's feathers when it's not? And like, da, da, da. And the response was, you're missing the point. You felt them, didn't you?
Yes.
And, you know, you talked about how, like, a lot of times the feeling actually comes before the vision or becomes before the knowing or before the listening or whatever. And for me, I really felt something there. And then I was able to create this space or this window to really hear the message. And I think so often we get these messages and then we logic it away, don't we?
Right.
Right. You get a message and you're like, oh, no, that doesn't make any sense, you know, or that doesn't fit here, you know, and or we find the excuse of it. You know, I have a lot of clients who loved ones will come with dimes. They'll leave dimes in random places. Hmm. And one person said to me, like, well, it makes sense. The dime was stuck to the bottom of the shoe and that's how it ended up there, you know. Of course, logical reason for everything. But again, missing the point. The point is that there was a connection that was made. There was something beyond this 3D physical realm that was connected in the most beautiful way for us. And so that's the receiving that we get to lean into. So anyway, I went on a tangent there, but I, as you're speaking about the feeling and that those pockets of the listening, that was one of the things that came to the surface, and creating the space to do that, I think, is a necessary ask these days.
Right. Right. And that was a beautiful tangent, by the way.
Oh, good. Thank you. Yeah. So, you know, this creating the space for listening, I can already hear all the excuses coming up of like, well, I've got kids and they play sports and I have all these things to do. Do you have any hacks or tips that you give your clients to create the container for listening? Because not everyone can sit down and meditate or do yoga necessarily. I mean, we could, but most of us aren't choosing that. Is there something that allows us to just, you know, step in a little bit? Do you have any suggestions for that?
You know what? The biggest suggestion that I have for people is
notice what you can do. What feels supportive and nurturing? Like for one patient, she's not a meditator, but she loves taking baths.
Perfect.
So whenever we talk about meditation, I'm like, whenever you're in your bath time, feel into this, right?
Yeah.
You know, I have another student who loves walking her dog, and her dogs love to be walked. So
yes.
So when she's out in nature, and I recommend, you know, like, go out in nature, get off the street and go out in nature. Yeah. And that helps her connect more to the spirit of nature. And the spirit of nature unifies us with, you know, this presence that can really sustain us, right? And so we find the ways that work for us. And, you know, it's really interesting because what I have found, because I've been a meditator for, gosh, 30 years, something like that, kind of ages me, doesn't it? But what I have found is that sometimes I love meditating and it so supports me. And if I don't meditate, I can really feel it. It's like we get into the habit of it. And then sometimes I found myself where, like, for instance, whenever my daughter was really young and she was an infant, it was almost impossible to meditate, right? And so what I want to say is for those people who don't have a practice of meditation, to find the way that works for you. So in other words, maybe you start off with 10 minutes. Notice how that feels. Maybe then you can go further and further. But what I have noticed is that for my mind, it doesn't even really start to settle until 20 minutes. And so these hacks that you say, oh, just meditate 5 minutes a day. Well, you can try and do that. But I would say if you're going to attempt it, at least give yourself 20 minutes so that you can win regarding slowing down the mind, because then that's whenever we really drop in. And the more that we do it, then the more we get accustomed to do it and the more that we want it. And I'm in a phase right now with everything that's going on in the world and being asked to be a leader regarding everything. I'm meditating an hour, sometimes 2 hours a day. Now I'm an advanced meditator and I'm connecting in and doing this, you know, work to really hold a lot of space. No, you don't have to do that, but just find the way where you can start.
I love that because I think sometimes we get caught up in it needing to look a certain way. And then we put all this pressure on ourselves. And then what good is that doing right now? It's like, oh my God, I didn't get my meditation done. And now I feel bad because I didn't do the thing that I committed to doing. You know, we can get ourselves so looked up. And then what's the point in the meditation after all of that?
That's what's going to happen.
So
unkind to ourselves.
Right. This grace to ourselves. And I love the idea of walking. You know, sometimes I find even showering meditative for myself too, you know. And so, like you said, it doesn't have to look like that. It can look in these other ways. And so just allowing yourself to find some presence and to create that space for a little bit of the quiet time, I think is brilliant. Yeah, love it. So in the course of your 10-year Dark Night of the Soul, if you will, you had already been doing a lot of this work, already doing the meditating because you started when you were like 3 years old, you know, right? Wait, nudge, nudge. So we don't give your age away at all. But truly, you know, you obviously were still doing the work as you were going through those difficult times. But now that you come out on the other side, we'll call it, you have downloaded this incredible modality. Can you talk about this modality and why it's so important right now?
Absolutely. So this modality has the ability not only to transform the dense somatic contractions inside of us from our trauma, from negative conditioning, et cetera, but as it does so, it brings in a lived experience of our higher self and the divine so that we can then awaken into embodiment. So it's something that has multiple different layers to it. At the beginning, the first phase of it, which is really there to really help stabilize our ego, we're working with negative voices and using higher consciousness just to stabilize the negative voices and awareness. But then the biggest phase, and this is the phase that Magdalene taught me, is that we have the ability to connect to our higher consciousness and aspects of our higher consciousness that then we can bring down into our body, into the places where we're holding, whether it be physical symptoms, energetic contractions,
difficult emotions that have been stored within the body and bring that higher consciousness, which is connected to the divine, into a very beautiful, held presence relationship with the difficulty inside. And in this relationship, what occurs is that the difficulty, as it's ready, we're not going to force it to do anything that it's not ready to do, but as it's ready, it literally transforms. And the density that it holds dissolves. This is what I call the alchemical code, the alchemical process inside. And as that dissolves, what happens is that we have more ability to, again, feel, to sense, to live that higher consciousness of who we are so that we can begin leading from our higher self and embodying our divinity. This, I have been told, because it comes from the Sophia Magdalene Christ consciousness path, is actually a path that they utilized before Rome got involved in the church during the Christ tradition time, where a lot of women were actually leading. And this was a process called the embodying of the Holy Spirit. And what has happened is that I've been given this process and really have formed it for modern times, because as we know, we're going through a lot right now, a lot. And it's kind of even interesting because I've been teaching Somatic Awakening for several years, and this was the year that I was actually going to pivot my mystery school and start opening up to other things, because there's a lot other things I want to teach, quantum awakening, the Rose Girl Path, et cetera, et cetera. But with everything that's happening in the world, the files, the war, so much going on, I was actually told by Divine Mother in meditation to pivot, to let go of the quantum awakening this year and to really focus on somatic awakening, because this is what we need. We need this as not only individuals, but as a collective.
I think this is so powerful. And you talked about somatic and embodiment. And I just want to make sure our audience understands when we're talking about embodiment, we're really talking about allowing ourselves to be fully present in the body. Yes. Could you expand on that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yes, it is a word that has multiple tiers of definitions, right? Okay. So the first definition is being present in the body. Absolutely. Of course. What I'm talking about at the higher levels is divine embodiment. So that our divinity is activated inside of our being. And so as that happens, it's not like we get rid of our human part. It's that the human and the divine come into unification, so that our humanity is still going to be clumsy and doing its thing, and the ego will still be there until it completely rests. That our divinity comes in and starts guiding us and giving us wisdom and guidance and understanding and compassion and love throughout our life. And when that happens, we're no longer just human, we're divine humans. We're moving into the cosmic divine humanity that we really are.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I think that this is one of the, I would say we have an epidemic of disconnection within ourselves. Yes. And, you know, you kind of mentioned the ego a few times, and we've talked about this on the show before, you know, that ego mind, the earth generated operating system, you know, that ego is so active, and it's because nobody's ever put boundaries or most people haven't set boundaries. The ego actually runs a lot of the show, and the ego is also run by the outside influences, the broadcasting or spell casting that we see in our outer world. And so that ego is so influenced by that. And yet we allow that ego to make decisions, right? To tell us stories and all sorts of things. And then we end up suffering in that space. And so the work that you're doing is really about not getting rid of the ego. We honor the ego. It has a function, but setting the boundaries and allowing the divine self to really start taking the lead, to really start making the decisions and being the motion in the extrinsic world.
That's exactly right. And I'll just add a little bit onto that, because what I have discovered in my deep inquiry into, you know, the negative voices that are part of the ego and what's really going on with the ego, there are two primary things I want to talk about briefly. And one is that the ego is attempting to protect us. And so imagine every single deep difficulty that you've had, every trauma that you've ever experienced, all of those things are interwoven with the ego, and it's attempting to protect us. But very often it protects us by making a really bad choice. Say, for instance, a girl went through a divorce with her parents, and then she didn't know what was going on, and she was traumatized. So she believed that something was wrong with her. And so her ego carried that for decades into the future, right? And so we have a whole landscape of these negative voices and somatic contractions inside of us. But when we can bring care, intending, and understanding from this divine consciousness, that's whenever they actually receive what they most want and they can rest.
Yes.
So when our negative voices are resting and our somatic contractions are resting, guess what? We are free. And then we can connect more with our divine self.
Yeah. And that quiet listening gets so much easier because we don't have all the chatter.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
I'm curious to know what else you want people to know. You know, I feel like you're on a mission, you know, to really move this Magdalene, this Yeshua energy, the Christ consciousness energy, and help us to have that divinity within us. What do most people need to know right now with this awakening and all the things happening on this planet?
Mm. Well, you know, we're living in a lot of duality right now. Mm. And that's not a big surprise to anyone.
Because divide and conquer, you know,
right?
Exactly. Best trick in the book. Yeah.
Right. And so as dense as it gets, there's also a huge amount of light. And so what this path is asking or leading us into, inviting us into, is to understand that we have the ability to bring duality inside of us together. Mm. So meaning, like a moment ago, I was talking about we are divine and human, right?
Yes.
But we're also being, even in this path of somatic awakening and many, many, many healing paths, what we're doing is we're bringing light into the darkness, right? And the way that I like to put it is that, you know, the density, the contractions, the protection, the negativity, all of those things, and all of the density inside of us, it's almost like it's the false darkness, right?
Right.
It's not the pure void darkness of the oneness, of the, you know, the oneness field. But what we're doing in that process is that we're transforming the darkness inside, the false darkness inside of us, so that then we can come into a unification of the light and the dark inside of us. And in that process, as we move more and more, we move into the unification of the masculine and the feminine.
Yes.
Definitely, we move into the unification of the dark and the light and the divine and human. And so this is really the deepest essence of mystical Christianity that has not been talked about, because many, many hundreds of years ago, that part of Christianity was buried.
Yeah.
There's a lot I could say about that, but that's really the essence of it.
That's and you know, podcast, yeah,
exactly. And you know, whenever people ask me, "Am I a Christian?" I'm like, "Well, kind of, but not really, because I don't really consider myself a traditional Christian in that way. Because the things that have been shown to me through my visions and my experience that came before Rome got involved in all the different denominations and Roman Catholic Church and all those different things. I'm not judging anyone who has that path, but this path really brings us into the essence of what Christ was talking about, and that the kingdom of heaven is inside of us.
Yes. That's my work, you know, is to show people that heaven's already here, and to show that there is an access point within each one of us to get into that. And so I think this is such a beautiful conversation, because we are very much seeing that duality, right? We're seeing, you know, more of what's happening in the world that maybe we didn't see before. You know, someone once gave me the analogy. They're like, you know, imagine you go into a dark room and you switch on the lights. Well, when you switch on the lights, you see the mess on the counter, and you see the dirt on the floor, and you see the scratches on the wall. And really, that's what's happening on a universal perspective. The light is being shone so that we can see the dirt, if you will, the density, if you will, so it can be revealed to us so that we can come to the truth of things, so that we can continue to alchemize that density within each one of us as well. And this whole idea of that light and the dark, this is about embracing all of it, isn't it? Right? We're really allowing the reunion of, you know, the feminine, the masculine, the light and the dark, all of those pieces. And so I think we're actually at a beautiful time
in the world. Yes.
Absolutely. And so, you know, one of the things that I've been talking a lot about since this rupture has really launched into our world or exploded into our world is that we are moving into a time of rupture as revelation.
Yes.
That's my favorite phrase right now, because
that,
yes, it is a rupture. Yes, it is painful. Yes, a lot of people are shocked at what's coming out. And I sense intuitively that there's going to be more and more coming out.
Yes.
And how can we make that into a revelation, both in the sense of no more, not on my watch, this isn't happening anymore.
Yes.
And at the same time, to bring our own awareness into the microcosm of ourselves, into how we can tend our somatic body, how we can tend our nervous system, how we can allow our bodies to settle and really ground into who we really are as clear, free, sovereign, divine beings.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes. From rupture to revelation. I love, love, love that. That's the time we're in. That's the time we're in.
Yes.
You know, I've also said to people, because they're like, oh, judgment day is coming. You know, you hear a lot of people talking, judgment day is coming. And I often feel compelled to correct people and say, it's not judgment day. It's compassion day, where we actually fall away from the judgment, where the ego death is so clear that it just falls away and we're not judging one another, that we're actually witnessing each other as the reflections of our own divinity, right? And so I really feel like that's what's coming. It is this beautiful day where we fall away from that judgment, where we move into deep compassion, grace for every single thing that exists.
Absolutely. And what I have found in my own experience of working with judgment and dissolving judgment and working with judgment with others is judgment is it's a core scaffolding of the ego, right?
Yeah, sure.
And so in that process, the best way that I have found to work with judgment is to first bring compassion to self, self-love, self-compassion, all the parts, everything welcome, everything loved. And as those parts settle, then we can more easily bring out to others.
Yes, because when we stop the self-judgment and the self-criticism, we don't feel compelled to persecute or judge others. That falls away completely. So another hallelujah to that. That's for sure.
Yes. Hey, good sister.
Oh, gosh. We're running out of time, so we're going to wrap things up. I know that we could probably talk all afternoon about this stuff, but I feel like, you know, I feel like there's some really good stuff here for people to kind of chew on a little bit. Do you, I know you've got this incredible program coming up. Can you tell us a little bit about that program and what you have available to our listeners?
Absolutely. So I'm really excited to launch this program. It is a reworking of an old program. If you remember, this is what Divine Mother has asked me to come back to, home to. And so I'm actually offering a 10-week somatic awakening journey called From Survival to Freedom. And it begins soon. It begins in a few days. And so this is a course, a 10-week course for those who've already done the inner work, but still don't feel fully safe in their body. We're going to be doing a lot of working with restoring the nervous system safety, reconnecting with our higher self and the divine, the ways that I just spoke of, and experience healing that finally lands in our body. I know for myself, I had done a lot of healing prior to having this vision and understanding somatic awakening at the level that I did. But very often, healing is an intellectual journey. But when we really drop it into our body, especially when we drop it into our body and hold it from the higher self and the divine energies, that's when everything changes.
A question is popping into my mind as you're sharing this. What kind of things can we expect in terms of resolve? Like, so for example, someone like myself has had IBS, you know, can I overcome that using something like this potentially? Or what kinds of things have you seen in your own clients or patients? Because you are a naturopathic doctor as well. I'm just curious to know.
Absolutely. And so working with Somatic Awakening, I have seen powerful transformations across the board.
I bet.
On a physical level, it is most correlated to physical symptoms that are connected to trauma or difficulty health within the body. If it's a purely physical, anatomical issue, it'll still help, but not quite. If you have a broken bone, you know.
Yeah,
more on the trauma level. However, people that have anxiety or overwhelm, or they have difficulty trusting themselves or connecting to their higher self, difficulty feeling grounded in the crazy times that we're in, all of those things, as well as it brings in a lived, what I call clear gnosis. So gnosis being the word that means our connection or knowledge, our knowing of God. Clear gnosis is like the intuitive feeling, sensing, living experience of God, because we're working with our higher self and the energy of the divine. And so as you experience this over and over and over through this process, people naturally begin to have more and more awakening experiences as they move deeper into the path.
Wow. I learned something. Clairgnosis. I teach on the clairs, and I've never heard of clairgnosis, but that's the clear embodiment of divine.
That's right.
Oh, I can't wait to dive into that now. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, we know about your course. How can we reach you? How can we, you know, what have you got available if people aren't ready to take the course, but maybe they want to keep exploring, you know, this beautiful work that you do?
Absolutely. So what you can do is go to my website, Sophia Healing Academy. And I have many different free resources. The one that most people love is my free ebook, The Four Golden Keys to Healing. And if you go to my website, it will just pop up as a pop-up box. So you can just put in your information and get it. And this is a book I wrote several years ago. Some things have changed. I'm actually in the process of writing a book for publication. But this book definitely gives you a lot of the principles and deeper understandings of the work.
Amazing. We're going to have that in the show notes. So if you are interested, that's there below this podcast episode, everybody. This has been such a joy to spend this time with you and explore with you. Thank you so much for taking time to come on our show. I'm so grateful that you were able to set the time aside and to be here with all of us today. So thank you so much. Any final words that you need to say before we wrap things up today?
Well, I just want to say thank you for inviting me. And I so have deeply appreciated this conversation. You feel like a soul sister. And I can imagine that your people on this podcast are very resonant. And so I'm really looking forward to connecting with anyone who feels resonant with this work on any level. Feel free to contact me.
Amazing. Oh, so wonderful. Thank you all for tuning in to another edition of When Spirit Calls. Keep on listening to those quiet nudges, those subtle nudges from the heavens. Until next time, be well, everyone. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
So happy you could join us today, and we hope that you found comfort and inspiration with wherever you are at right now. If you feel you received a gift in today's message, please pass that gift along to a loved one by sharing this episode with them. To continue this conversation, please join me at rosehope.ca. And when you do, be sure to access your free gift by signing up for the When Spirit Calls newsletter. I'm looking forward to connecting with you again soon.